Invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4 again. 1 John chapter 4 in our series regarding Jesus is the strong man. We embark upon a subject. We want to take a look at the subject. The Lord has given us content in the Scripture regarding the subject that we not be ignorant, but that we know. The Lord says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." It's no good to be ignorant. What ignorance does is we cannot know about a harm or a thing that could befall us, a misunderstanding where we lay account of things to the charge of one that they don't belong there when they belong on the charge of another. It's good for us to know the truth, and what the truth does for us is it gives us always confidence in our Lord. And kind of a different kind of subject, the Lord has dealt with me regarding it just over past experiences and different folks that I have known of, and different things that have been said and caused me to wonder and give pause, maybe in things even that maybe I've said myself in the past. And so this is just a culmination of all this, of taking all of this, these different things, these different aspects, these different things maybe that we have claimed, or so, and go to the Scripture to find out what is the truth. And so we need to know we are faced with this more so in our nation than we never ever have, because the protecting hand of our Lord is being raised. It's being taken off of our nation. And that's evidenced just by the outlandish thinking that is at hand. As Clarissa and I were talking about it yesterday, the day before, that we live in a time where the truth, the evident truth of things, is straight-faced, flat-faced, bold-faced, being denied. Like those pews that you sit in are upholstered in a shade in the palette generally of red or maroon. There are things that we have in our world today that people are saying, "No, that's blue," as an example. And the thing is it's on an exponential multiplication of madness each and every day. And we've got to know in whom we have believed. And we need to know His faithfulness. And we need to know His word and His truth, that in such a day that we would be able to stand in our Lord. Because without Him and His truth and His word, we have no basis to stand. But in Him, we can do everything that He's called us to do, even in this, amongst this wicked, sinful, outlandish, unreasonable generation. And so may the Lord help us. And so that's a conclusion I've come to about the timeliness of this subject. I'll tell you this. I heard about a youngster this week, and this isn't something that's necessarily new in the world, but I heard about a youngster this week, very, very young, threatening to kill their loved one. And it was a serious threat. And this is coming from someone that's very, very young. And how is it that we arrive at a state that a child in innocence and in that of youth and such would be such a danger, a very real danger to their own loved one and to themselves? I just asked that question. How could that be? Well, again, I'm of the opinion in general terms, the protective hand of our Lord is being backed away. We have said as a nation that we don't want God. And therefore the Lord says, "Okay, you've not got me, and you've got everything that goes along with not having me." And that's where we're at. Now, I don't want to be the voice of doom, and by no means is it something that you and I would ever ask for, but you and I are here in this day. We are here in this day. And that's by no mistake. Our Lord knows that we're here in this day, and we've got the truth. And may we be a witness of that, and may we live in that. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits." Test them. Test them how? With what? With the Word of God. Test them whether they are of God. And we can do so only by what God has said. Not our own wisdom, not our own thinking or our own philosophy, but by what God has said. And that's the reason we need to know what the Lord has said in His Word. Because many false prophets, and see, understand, these are the generators of these spirits. Okay? These spirits that go out, these ideas, this thinking. We've got a bunch of false prophets in our government. And they're espousing doctrine and teaching that the ignorant and the unknowledgeable are just saying, "Oh, that sounds like it's such a great idea." Where history has proven that they are not great ideas for government and the liberty of people as the Lord has created this. But these spirits, they go about, they need to be tested by the Word of God. There are those that carry them. These false prophets are gone out into the world. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." And we have a great contingent in our government today that takes God and denies Him. Denies what Brother Mark read out of Psalm 24. Right? About we belonging to God. No, we're not accountable to any God. You're your own man. You're your own woman. Or you're your own question mark. Do whatever you want to do, because eat, live, and be merry, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But that's not the truth. They deny God. They hate God. They take every foundational principle of God that God has given to us as mankind, and they blaspheme it and they go against it. Haters of God indeed. So, do they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? By no means they do not, because they deny the very God that has done so. Verse number 3, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." So know that. They deny the Lord. They deny the creation. See, Jesus being sent by the Father is the climax, is the pinnacle, is the greatest point of all of this of God, who He is and what He's done. And that's the reason that it's mentioned this way in this passage. They deny the Lord. Don't even, you can name every other god, past, present, and those that are being made up. You can name the name of them, pray in their name, have all kinds of bizarre, unreal thought about mankind's relationship with God or a higher being, but do not bring up the name of Jesus. Not Jesus. And that right there is a testimony of the reality of Jesus and the power and the authority of the Jesus, because they'll take any other, but not Jesus Christ. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, against Christ, against God, "whereof ye have heard that it should come." And brothers and sisters, it has come. It is here. "And even now already is in the world." Verse 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Well, who in this context is there to overcome? The spirits. The false prophets. The deniers of our Lord Jesus Christ and the way of God amongst mankind and His salvation. The way of Antichrist. John writes, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And I'll say it again. Greater is he. It doesn't say greater is he that is among they that is in you. But see, Jesus is a strong man. And if you're saved, he lives within. And there's no room for anybody else. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So indeed there is one that is in the world, and that is Satan, as we understand from this passage and the other passages in the Scripture. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. They are of the world, these that have been overcome and can be overcome. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. So there's a speech of these false prophets, these of the world, these spirits that they float, and these ideas, this thinking, this doctrine that they put out. And you know what? The world will just gobble it right up. Eat it right up. Lap it up. The new thing, the great thing, which we know there's Solomon tells us, the Lord tells us through Solomon, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just a rehash. Same old thing. That's the reason that this idea of socialist or whichever ism that you want to, government-wise, that you want to pick, just keeps on getting floated again every handful of generations, because it has not worked. It's never been good for people. But in ignorance, in pressure, it comes back around again. History indeed does repeat itself, and it does so because of an ignorant people, an unknowledgeable people. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so, is it because we're special? No, it's because the Word of God and God Almighty is special, and He has told us the truth. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil made me do it. The devil got in me. The devil is working on my mind and working on my thinking. Well, we've seen, and evidence is in the Scripture, that can be the case for the unsaved. Satan can have power except from the restraining hand of God. We've got evidence that's plain and clear in the Scripture that can be the case. It's a precarious situation that the unsaved find themselves in, and this place that they are in. That's the reason, another reason, that sinners need to be saved. But as we saw last time, whenever Jesus comes in, there's no room for anybody else. And it would be an affront to the Lord, because the Lord speaks to us in salvation, in regards to salvation, about everlasting and eternal life. And would it be so that Satan could come and influence from within, in the heart and the mind of those that have been saved by the Lord? Oh, remember, we do have the eye gate that is not saved. We do have the ear gate that is not saved. This old flesh and this old mind indeed is not saved. But from the standpoint of the person, the individual, Jesus living within, the definition of the new man within us, that which bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, there's no room for access in the individual from a spiritual standpoint. Try the spirits. The prophets are telling them. And then the fallen angels are out here moving and working. And for the Lord to lose his own in that regard, in that point, by possession and internal influence of a fallen angel or Satan himself, wouldn't that be showing a compromise of the power of God? Indeed, it would. It would. When Jesus saves, he saves completely. And so we want to deal with this morning one point that maybe speaks against this position. And honestly, I give you this that you might consider it yourself and that you might know and talk to the Lord about it and understand for yourself. Oh, yeah, I can listen to a word that's out here. I can listen to an influence that Satan might be working or the demons might be working and somebody that's unsaved. I could be listening to the media at large in the world, all of it being controlled and influenced by Satan himself and the depravity of man. And then I can take that in. And you know what? I can take that in and not try that. What's God say about that? What should I line up with this? Should I line up to take this and bring this into my life? Or what does the Lord say about this? Maybe I should take this and push this away. God said this is no good for me. We have that. We talked some time, it's been a good while ago, about the fiery darts of the wicked. The fiery darts of the wicked. Satan is firing the darts. But he's not coming and working inside the heart and the soul and the mind of an individual that's been saved by the Lord. He will take and he will bring out temptation in front of us to take and sucker in our flesh. But he's not within anymore. There's no room for him. You know, as children, we had cartoons. And what was the cartoons? Little black angel over here on the left side, little white angel over here on the right side, both of them whispering in our ears. See, isn't that something, how something that is delivered and fed to a child can give us an idea about where we're at? Well, listen, the Lord is within us being saved, and Satan is outside, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, but we are still subject to what he takes and throws at us from outside. You and I are still subject to the memories that we have, the temptations that we succumb to, even before we were saved. We have that baggage, I call it, and that thing that we carry, and we pray that the Lord would take that stuff away from us. And it can be displaced by the Word of God. But I present to you that you and I, our greatest problem is not Satan, who is against us, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, desiring and seeking to destroy our testimony, destroy our lives if he can. Our greatest problem is not Satan, it's our own selves. It's our own selves. It's that leftover and that remnant from which we have been saved. That's the reason we have such great hope in getting a body, and what will come along with it, a mind like Christ. In that day, we won't remember the junk and the filth anymore. In that day, I think about that in the millennial reign. As we go and we walk in the millennial reign, the wickedness, the blasphemy of men, the sinfulness of those that remain upon the earth, it will not hurt us. It will not mar us. It will not tempt us because we will be like Christ. But now it does. It does vex us. But in that day, we won't be vexed anymore. So two cases that we wonder about regarding what I've presented to you, and we want to deal with them. Two cases that we wonder about regarding Satan having access to our minds, our hearts, from within. Acts chapter 5. Brother Mark has touched upon this in his Sunday school lesson, and I know he has dealt with it in regards to the teaching. I want us to come here and listen to this and hear what the Scripture says unto us and see about a brother and sister in Christ there in the church and what the Lord says, what the Scripture tells us. Brother Luke impressed with the Lord to take and write down this event, and let's listen to the wording of this. And see if we can determine and what happened here and what took place. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. So here we have this couple, and what the precursor to this is what we find in chapter number 4, where it says, verse number 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them, among the church, that lacked. For as many as were possessor of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas," which is being interpreted the son of consolation, "a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So this is what's going on in the church, and this is what's happening to by conviction of the Lord, to take care of these Jews that have been saved and that were made members, they came and we were baptized, and whether it was in John's day and his ministry or baptized by the church, that we see the Lord's church baptizing in John chapter 3 also. And so that was the continuing thing that went on as folks came confessing their sins. They put them under, they baptized them, and they were members of the church. Now there's this, the Jews, they're very jealous about Judaism and that, and no doubt those Jews that were saved were alienated by their families, cut off. If you're a business owner, nobody did business with you anymore, claiming this Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, it was an affront to the Jews. And so there was great need. And those that had property, those that had possessions, they went and sold them. And they gave it to the apostles so that their brothers and sisters could have the provision that they needed. And what's naturally going to happen? You mean there's food today? Yeah. Yeah, brother so-and-so, he went and sold his stuff and gave it to the apostles, and they brought the food around. I thought we were out. No, the Lord took care of it again today. And just by virtue and by the natural occurrence amongst the church and the members of the church, they found out and they came to know what different ones of them did. You mean they sold all their land? Yeah. Yeah. He had land up there in Cyprus and he sold it all. And the apostles, I don't believe it was a thing of being a respecter of persons or anything, but I think it was just a heartfelt admiration and blessing of the Lord upon them all, upon Barnabas and Joseph, and upon the church there together, and the leadership, the apostles wondering how these people are going to be ministered to in that. And Joseph, you're the son of consolation. And no doubt people heard that. I mean, Luke found out about it to be able to write it. And so folks are hearing that. They're seeing that. They're benefactors of it. So Ananias and Sapphira, they happen to think, we need to sell our stuff too. Okay. Well, let's sell it. Yeah, okay, that'd be the right thing to do. Are we going to give all of that to them? No, let's not give all of it. Let's keep back some of it. Well, what are we going to tell them? Well, let's find out. So they are both, she is understanding of what's being done. They kept back part of the prize. And brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And the Lord working in Peter. But Peter said, Ananias, why? Ananias, it's indicated by that one little word there that Ananias is in control. Ananias has come. His wife is not there. And Peter, at the laying down of it, And whatever it is that Ananias said, Peter says, why? He's holding Ananias accountable for what Ananias has done. Why? Why? Ananias is in control. Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, to the Holy Spirit of God? So here is the statement here that might cause us to think, well, Satan's there. He's filling up Ananias' heart. He's in there. He's got the Lord in there telling him what to do. And then he's got Satan in there filling him up with this stuff. Kind of like that white angel, black angel thing on the shoulder going on. Why has Satan filled thine heart? Was it Satan that was in Ananias? Or was it Ananias and what he heard and what he thought about? The accolades, and justifiably so. Nothing meant by it. And Brother Mark mentioned this morning how it's of great necessity that we one to another are not respecter of persons. It's imperative for a pastor, got to deal with that constantly and continually, to not be a respecter of persons in the membership. It's just what the Lord does and what the Lord expects. And so the compliment, the Joseph getting this new name, Barnabas, by the apostles, and it had a meaning with it. Why are you calling him Barnabas? Why are you putting that accolade on him? Well, he had been a blessing right there, right on time. It wasn't that they were running everybody else down. It was just he was a blessing. Ananias heard that. The Sapphira saw that mills over in their mind. Was there some that said, I went and sold the stuff, but I just can't give you all of it. Here's part of it. And they saw maybe how the reaction was different. Tell you what, our human condition is a mess, isn't it? I like what the brother said this morning about the Lord and the roles that the Lord's made, and how it's up to the men in the church to lead. And I wrote that down, brother. I'm going to use it in the future. It's bad enough with men trying to lead, and no slap against the women, but the Lord's just made an order. He's made an order, and we have troubles and we have responsibilities just trying to lead too and not make a mess of things. So they had heard and they had seen and they wanted that for themselves, but they couldn't be trusting in the Lord enough to give all of it and not running them down, but they chose to keep back part of it. Why has Satan filled thine heart? Well, let's read on. Why has Satan filled thine heart a lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? So Peter knows the Lord showed him. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? You can do with it what you want to, Peter. I mean, Ananias. You know you could have done what you wanted to with it. It was all up to you. It was between you and the Lord. You could do with it what you want. Nobody is demanding that anything be done. The apostles are not demanding, hey, you guys need to sell your stuff because we're in a crisis here. And we're doing that. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power, Ananias? See, he's not speaking to Ananias like the demon has a hold of the little boy and there's nothing he can do. He's not speaking to Ananias like the damsel there in Ephesus or Philippi. That there was nothing, she was bound. The Peter makes it very clear that Ananias was not bound. He's just believed the Spirit, not tried it up against what the Word of the Lord says, and he's bought into it and followed after it. See, as a saved man, Ananias' biggest problem is himself. Sapphira's biggest problem is herself. It was in your own power. You could have given none of it. You could have waited for another day. You could give part of it. You could give all of it. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Oh, so see, now we get down to it. The working in the heart, and we point at the blood pumping muscle, but where is it? It's in here inside of us. The soul, the spirit, the mind, the person. You've thought this up inside of you. Why? There was no need. There was no need. And see, here's a point that is really, really good for us to get a hold of. We need to have a good witness to a lost and dying world, and we need to have a good witness amongst one another. But may God help us that we get over what others think. So many are crushed, ruined, and oppressed by what others think. We need to do and be worried and concerned about in the right way, concerned about, attentive to what our Lord thinks. But Ananias and Sapphira, they got away from what the Lord thought, and they started wondering about what others thought. Why have you conceived this in your heart? Why have you thought up to do this? Peter asks, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? And that's where it's at. They have seen, they have heard. They have conjured this up. They have agreed together. Peter makes it plain the power. It was their power. It was their stuff. And Peter lays it on the line here. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. That's another point, an aside. May God help us that we not ever lie to the church. Lying to the church is bad, bad business. Because lying to the church, and sometimes the pastor is the representative of the church, this authority, this situation, this truth, sometimes is carried by the pastor. It's not because of who he is or the man that he is, but sometimes it's the pastor that asks on behalf of the church. And may God help us that we not lie to the Lord in that. It's serious business. It is serious business. Sometimes situations come about where the only person to ask is the one that's being accused. And that answer is the answer that we need to receive. Knowing it's bad, bad business to lie to the church. Because Peter said, you've not lied to men, but you've lied to God. Isn't that something? Right there at the threshold of giving it all or giving it part. You know, they could have brought the bag of money or whatever, the purse, and just put it in front of Peter and say, there you go. And not a said a word. Not a said a word about part. Not a said a word about all. But had to open up the mouth for the sake of the accolade. And right there, went the wrong way. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He died. The Lord took his life from him, and great fear came all them that heard these things. And it would and should. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him, which is understandable because a dead body lying about is a great source of disease. It was no doubt part of their custom and their work. He is not there with his wife, as is going to be evident and evidenced in the scriptures. So they took him out and they buried him. Plus, look at this. Desiring the accolades from the brethren rather than desiring the blessing of the Lord. See, the blessing and the well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, a lot of times, many times, probably I would say more times than not, the well done, thou good and faithful servant comes from the Lord in secret. Comes in singleness. Just the person and the Lord. And you know what? That needs to be enough for us. Now, our world loves fame. The natural man loves infamy and fame, depending on how you look at it, depending on what the subject is. But you know what the Lord likes? He likes the left hand not knowing what the right hand's doing. The Lord likes faith in Him and trust in Him for it just to be between the person, the child, and the Lord. That is enough. Not what others know and what others hear. There was disgrace in the death of Ananias. And understand, he was saved. The Lord wouldn't have dealt with an unsaved man this way. He was the Lord's child, the Lord's son. Can you imagine that, be there in the midst of a lie? Lying to the church, lying to one of the leaders in the church from the standpoint of an apostle, and then fall down dead and appear in glory, and you got there on a lie? May God help us. We need to try the spirits. We need to watch out for our own desires. May God help us. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. She didn't understand it. 3 hours later, been down shopping with the ladies, whatever was going on, ministering, whatever. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." Got down to figures. They had evidently counted the money. And right accounting would be that they would have to count the money to get it distributed and get it to work and everything. Tell me how much you sold it for. And she said, "Yea, for so much." Notice here in the scripture, it doesn't matter what the number was. It just doesn't matter. What matters is what happened before the Lord, doesn't it? Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have allowed Satan to work in you so?" No. How is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Lord? You've taken up something here that you didn't even need to meddle with. You needed to do just what the Lord wanted you to do and just keep your lip zipped. And conspiring this way, they had talked to agree on the figure. If anybody asked, this is the number, darling. How is it you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. And then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. So here, was it Satan or one of the fallen angels working in Ananias and Sapphira, saved children of God? No, not working in them, because they were held fully responsible for what they were doing. Oh, did they hear the accolades of their brethren? Yeah. Did they see them? Did the devil get in them? Well, they allowed the doctrine and teaching and way of Satan to get in them, the way and depravity and the accolades and the desire of fame of men get in them by virtue of taking it in, turning it around in that factory of sin and said, "Hey, we're going to do this. Here's the number. Anybody ask you, you make sure you say that number. Here's all of it, Peter." She ends up in heaven, again, on a lie. You understand what I'm saying? That was her last thing on the earth. She lied to the Spirit of God in the church. greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try them. You know, they should have tried those spirits. They should have said, you know, that fame and that accolade from our brothers and sisters here in the church, that would really, really be good. But what's the Lord think about that? No, the Lord's not interested in that. We just need to do what we should do and trust the Lord in it. Can we give all of it? Yeah, we can give all of it and the Lord will take care of us. Or can we give some of it? Yeah, we can give some of it and then we can wait till later on the rest. Just do it. Don't worry about what others think. Be concerned mostly and primarily and chiefly and only what the Lord thinks. In Ephesians chapter 5, we have a verse here that we just want to touch on before we close. Ephesians chapter 5. And this comes to you and me as saved children of God in church context. And verse number 17, you and I are admonished and commanded by our Lord in this. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What does my brother want me to do? Well, that's one thing. What does my sister want me to do? Well, that's another thing. But you know what's most important? What does the Lord want me to do? To be understanding what the Lord wants me to do. That's what's number one. That is what's primary before all others. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Yeah, well, this of drinking alcoholic beverages, wine here is the direct reference. But what's that do? Well, that lowers our emotional and psychological guard, doesn't it? That's the reason that drink is called spirits. It causes people to behave in a way that they wouldn't normally behave, to lose a sense of what's right by drinking that. And so we're told to avoid that. But you know what? We need to avoid other spirits too. The doctrine of other spirits, the teaching of false prophets, we need to avoid that too. We don't need to be filled with any word from any other spirit than that which is of the Lord. And listen to what it says here. And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, Brother Jim, I'm saved. I'm filled with the Spirit. I think we have an understanding. We can have an understanding here. To which do we avail ourselves? Do we avail ourselves of that Spirit that works in the children of disobedience now, as it tells us in Ephesians 2? Do we listen to that, having been saved from that, what it tells us in Ephesians 2? Do we still look over there and see what's going on over there in that camp still, having been saved from that? Or do we look to avail ourselves to what the Lord says? What the Lord wants for us? See, we got the old man, and he's still scratching and clawing and grappling to do the same old thing that he always did. But we got the new man within, which is life. And he needs to be fed too. You know, this is very much tied to progressive sanctification. That's the theological term for it. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. That's another summary way of saying it. We need to fill up on what God says. We need to be praying for what the Lord wants. And we need to ignore all others. Oh, not to say that there's not good, godly advice from our brothers and sisters in Christ and those that have been in the faith and have been proved in their lives that they want the Lord, they follow the Lord, they live a holy life. We can get good advice and good understanding from them. It all needs to be Bible-based. What are we going to be filled with? What we hear and what we see out in the world, the way of man? are filled with what the Lord says in His Word and the testimony, the witness of our brothers and sisters in Christ that are following after. You know, we're told to provoke one another to love and good works. There's that witness. There's that testimony. Be filled with the Spirit, and that's capital S. That's the Spirit of God. Yes, we avail ourselves more or less unto Him. May God help us that we would do so more. Speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There's that in church context. And may the Lord help us that we would do so. So Ananias and Sapphira, did Satan get in them spiritually and meddle in their hearts? No, I don't think so. I think they listened to a word from without. They didn't try the spirits. They didn't guard against that which was against the Lord. They went after that which was of the flesh, and it cost them their lives. The next one that we're going to take a look at is King Saul. And he's can be a controversial character, but we'll take a look at him and what the Scripture says about him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You need the rescue of God more than anything else in life. You need salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you have that? How can that be obtained by a sinner like you? Well, but not by anything you can do, but by repentance of your sins before God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that you can save yourself, because you can't save yourself, but you trust Jesus to save you. He's the Savior. He's the Rescuer. He's the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Forgiver of sins and sinners. And only by Him can you be saved. Trust in Him.